welcome to episode 4 of the Heritage Langham podcast. I'm Heather Payton. This month we've slipped the surly bonds of the makeshift studio to base ourselves at St. Jerome's, the medieval church that our project is equipping to face the next few hundred years, an outside broadcast if you like. So the pews have been removed, the scaffolding's gone up and the builders have moved in. We really are now on our way. St. Jerome's also has a new vicar, and we'll be finding out what he thought when they told him his new church wasn't quite well finished. And we'll also be hearing from the archaeologist who'll be tracking down any physical reminders of Langham's Flemish heritage, the other prong of our project. But first, Builder-in-Chief David Siggery is with me. David, what's happening now?
Well, as you can see, we've taken the pews out, lifted the floors up, and we've got to have an analysis. That's the archaeologists are involved to use their equipment to find out what, if anything, is in the space and the voids here. And then we can commence work. We've got to take the floors out, and there's underfloor heating being installed, and that'll be the biggest part, really, of this job. Outside, we've got repointing. We're repointing all round. The copings are being taken off, and a lead DPC, which will stop water penetration that way, and new copings put back. There are some rebuilding of the existing porch, which is the slight bit of movement of it. And there's also a cesspit to be put, so there'll be drainage here, so it'll be, like I say, more usable.
And you made quite an extraordinary discovery, in fact.
Yes, on taking up the pews and removing the pews on the floor, we found some old human remains, which is perhaps not extraordinary, but it's something we come across and work with in what we do, working in old buildings. It's and especially churches, it's expected sometimes.
Were you a bit shocked by this?
No, not really, because we've worked in a number of churches where we have found similar, quite local as well, St. Florence Church in Tenby, we found 3 skeletons under the organ chamber there, so it's something we come across.
David, thanks, our chief builder, David Siggery. And watching the builders with interest is James Meek of Dyved Archaeology. James, first tell me, what are you going to be doing here in the church?
Because the work's going to involve removing the existing floors, digging down a bit of the rubble underneath to get to a decent surface on which the new underfloor heating and the new floors can be built, obviously that work will impact on archaeological remains. The rubble that's there, it's probably 19th century that's underneath these floors, but it's still got archaeological material in it that will have been disturbed when those floors were put in 1879 or around that time. So there could be bits of medieval tile, there could be pottery.
What's an archaeologist's dream in a place like this? What would you really love to find?
At Langham, it's actually really good because, obviously, with the Flemish connection and the Roche connection as well, some of the work that I've done previously at Roche Castle means that, you know, I have a big interest in this myself. And so anything that was to do with the De La Roches would be absolutely perfect for me. And I mean, so I suppose in this case, it could be finding a vault, finding a slate slabs, finding anything that would actually give us some kind of indication straight in that there is that connection. I mean, it's a perfect job for that, this one.
That's the dream.
That's the dream on this one, yeah.
Of course, there's also a dig going to be taking place at Great Nash Farm, just up the road a bit. Tell me a bit about that.
Right, well, the work we intend to do there, which will be very much community-based and get as many people involved as we can, first off, it's all in the walled garden that's there. It's a good, accessible, usable space that we can work in. We've been given permission to work in. First off, it will be doing geophysical survey, which is gradiometry, which is looking at things like fires or where pits are or ditches or pits. Those will show up with the survey that we do. So I think our first week on site we'll be doing that survey again, hopefully using volunteers, members of the community to assist. And then after that, the results of that will hopefully show up lots of features that we can then target and do some excavation on. Again, I suppose the ideal on that would be to find a load of rubbish pits, to find medieval remains in those rubbish pits and find material that's come from Belgium. I mean, that would be perfect again.
Yeah. And we're asking for volunteers, of course, to do this. And this is really a chance to sort of get down and get dirty, isn't it?
Definitely, yes. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the work we do is quite physical, as my back is now telling me, having done it for about 25 odd years now, my back is starting to give out. But so it will be using hand tools, shovels, picks to do the excavations, and then doing the more careful work as we do with trowels. Hopefully we'll find lots of pottery or other artifacts that we can then collect, so there will be opportunities for people to do less physical tasks, like doing the pot washing, or even helping us do the records or drawings, helping us with photography. We'll try and do training in everything, really, give a whole good flavour of what we do in archaeology.
When's that going to happen?
So we're aiming to do that work the last 3 weeks of April, the first week again being the geophysical survey, and then the last two being the physical excavation as well. At Great Nash, we're going to use what we've got, this gradiometer, which is looking at magnetic differences in the ground, which I'll say shows up things like fires and other disturbances. But in the church, we're going to be using another company to come in and do ground-penetrating radar, which is what you need to use when you're inside of buildings, because obviously, I mean, from where I am now, I can see so many metal objects that instantly makes gradiometry survey not work, whereas the ground-penetrating radar can get through the floors, like the tiled floor we've got here, will be able to penetrate through that. It sends radio waves down, they bounce back, and from that and the readings that they get, they can get an indication of underground, whether it be crypts, graves, walls. He says, hopefully, it might show nothing, but hopefully it will show these things and give us a good idea of what's actually beneath our feet, some of which we will probably never get to look at, but at least it will give us a clue of what's underneath the church.
And what you want is a Richard III type scenario.
Well, I hope he's not here as well. That would be difficult. My friends in Leicester wouldn't be too chuffed. But I suppose so. I mean, it's to try and find a crypt that we can have that link with the De La Roches. I mean, that really would be an ideal. Well, yeah.
Another reason that you've come today is that some bones were turned up by the builders. What do you think about that?
The bones were exposed when they removed the suspended floor, the timber floor that was in the church. And as we've seen in so many examples across Wales and jobs I've done in England as well, where you have the suspended floors underneath, they fill the void with rubble. Mm. And also any bits of human remains that they might have dug up whilst they were putting that floor in. And so basically what we can see, this sort of scatter of bones on the surface, is very typical of burials that must be earlier than 1800, I would imagine, of burials that were beneath the church floor that have just been disturbed during other bits of work. And now they're all sort of scattered. There's no, you couldn't work out an individual. They certainly look like they've got some date to them, but they are a scatter of bones and, you know, leg bone here and a bit of skull here and a finger bone there, rather than being actual burials.
James, thanks. James Meek of Dovid Archaeology. Well, I mentioned earlier that Langham has a new vicar, Marcus Zipperlen. Now imagine being told that you have a new parish to take care of, but sorry, your church is currently being taken apart by the builders. Anyway, in a quiet moment, Pam Hunt, Heritage Langham's chairman, took Marcus on his first inspection tour.
So we're in the church, I'm looking around and we're shivering and we're wondering what it is we're doing here. So, what is going to happen here, and does it involve heating?
It certainly involves heating. It involves everything that's going in. The lighting and the heating is all going to be environmentally friendly. Yes, we will have underfloor heating, so no unsightly radiators or pipes or water butts that are sitting on the top of the church. They're threatening to fall on our heads. The lighting is LED, and when it comes in, I did the sums, and it looks as though we will be burning less electricity with the entire church lit up than we do now with one light bulb that is lighting the altar area.
When I was at McCuntleth, the Centre for Alternative Technology, I used to run the biology department, which is something of a euphemism, really, for toilets, sewage and water, with a bit of conservation. But it's hard to catch all that, so we called it the biology department. So that sustainable water and sanitation was my thing. But certainly I was surrounded by low energy, technology, air source, ground source, heat pumps and so on. So it's really good to hear that's going in here for the environmental impact, but also just to save us a fortune, I'd imagine.
The first thing is that's got to be sorted out before we put in underfloor heating and environmentally friendly heating and lighting, is we've got to dry the place out. It's for years now, the water's been seeping in from the ground outside. So the first thing to do is to sort out the damp. The most important thing, of course, is get those effigies sorted because they are riddled with damp.
Yeah, well, I understand that part of the project is the historical background to Llangwm and these effigies. So could we go and have a look at those?
Yeah, of course you can. We're in the north transept now, which was built later than the main body of the church. It was built about 1340. And it was the family chapel for the de la Roche family. And you can see to your right there the piscina, very rare one, covered over. Yeah. But these two, the lady and the gentleman over here, they're the important ones. We're not 100% certain who they are. We understand that the lady, the clothes she's wearing, or the style, dates from about the 1250s. Mm-hmm. And the knight, definitely a knight, he's there with a helmet and a sword, which is broken, and he's got crossed legs, he's been dated at 1350.
Right, okay.
Which is about the time that this place was built, this section of the church was built. So this is going to be an enclosed space now for the Sunday school. They'll be able to enjoy the peace and quiet with doorways, glass in doors. The arches, glass doors.
Sounds good.
So we can see them. They can be seen but not heard. And as my mother used to say. And then on the wall to the left here will be the tapestry, which is being currently made in six different houses around Llangwm. And that tapestry will communicate with modern technologies and tell the story of the origins of this village and this church.
Okay, so the effigies you can see located here, but I understand it wasn't their original location. Are they changing place, or are they going back here again?
They used to be beside the altar when this was the family chapel. Right. They were each side of the altar. But they are so wet now that they've got to be dried out, and the problem is that water's coming in from outside, seeping through the stonework and the
They in particular do seem to be green, whereas nothing else is. Yeah. They seem to really be wicking up the water.
But I'm told that what's happened is there's a lot of salts in the water, and that's come in and started. They have started to deteriorate, which is a real tragedy. Absolutely.
Right, okay.
So what's going to happen? They're going to use a wire saw. And they will break the connection between the effigy and the plinths thereon. And then they will slide something like a forklift, but I don't think it'd be a forklift, but something like that. Lift it very slightly and pull it away from its mount, from its plinth. Mm. They will then repair the plinth. They will put lead on it, and they will create a plinth that no water can reach the effigies anymore.
Yeah.
And it'll take a year for them to dry out then. It must be quite galling for you, Marcus, to be licensed in this community, well, three parishes, but you've actually only got two churches in those three parishes to deal with. That must be a bit galling.
Well, it's unusual to be licensed somewhere and not to have a building to worship in, but I think it's a positive thing. I mean, right from the start with my licensing, which took place in the school, I thought that was great because as a people of God, it's not the building, is it? It's who we are, and we're in a community and a place and not just within St. Jerome's. So I think that was quite a good message, and to be in the school to start with, actually see it as positive. Maybe as the weeks go on, I'll start to think, well, it's not all positive, it actually can be a bit of a pain, but at the moment I'm thinking it's a good thing, and also it puts everyone in a slightly sort of different place, a time of flux, and it's a time where you can let go of old habits in a way, and if we're coming back into a new building and it's a slightly new way of being used and it's more part of the community, then we will have done a bit of letting go and we can embrace a slightly new way of being together, and it's all to the good. So I actually think it's positive on all counts.
Marcus Zipperlin with Pam Hunt. Well, that's it for this month. Keep your comments rolling in via the website and tell your friends about us. If you want to sign up for the dig at Great Nash Farm, the website, heritagelangham.org.uk, is the place to do it. So until next month, thanks to the people who are making all this possible, the Heritage Lottery Fund, and thanks to you for listening.